But
all is well, Larry.
Morning, Brother Fish. Morning, Brother.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Break every chain, do all.
Pray with me, my brothers, to the one who reigns as the Most High God. It is with deep humility that we come before you this morning, submitting ourselves to your holy will. We come this morning with brotherly love and fraternal affection in our hearts and with Jesus on our lips, seeking to better understand the teachings of your Son and our Savior. We ask that you lift us this morning to a new plane of understanding in our minds as you lift us to a new level of love in our hearts. Teach us to know that many people who walk in and out of our lives, but true friends will leave footprints indeed on our hearts. Hear us this morning, Lord, we pray. Amen. Oh, what a blessed day this is, for it is a thankful Thursday when, again, we come before the Lord our God seeking inspiration for our souls and spiritual breakfast for our hearts in hopes that the God that we serve might hear us and help us. Brothers, I am Roy Johnson, a friend to every Omega man, and I bow with you this morning. Together we call out to the Almighty. Here we daily express that prayer does not equip us for greater work, but prayer is the greater work. And bowing down and working with us and calling out the name of the Lord is our elected fraternal leadership here this morning in the person of our first vice grand basilisk, Mark Jackson, our grand keeper of records and seals, Sherman Charles Auer, grand keeper of finance, Lee Rideout, and our grand counselor, Clement Osemitha. Oh, each of them walk the path blazed for them by two who are ever present with us each morning, the determined and dedicated Dorsey Miller, who is GB35, and the ambassador of aspiration, Antonio Knox, who is GB40. Both men, no strangers to the Lord and no stranger to this prayer line. Oh, walking and praying with them is the wonderfully wise Walter T. Richardson, our immediate past grand chaplain, and his predecessor, the steadfast and sturdy, prayerful Staccato Powell, former grand chaplain, who along with the originator, Ray Johnson, made daily prayer with Omega men the daily bread of our living. Now, we cannot look beyond our immediate past grand keeper of finance, Johnny Smith, teaches us each and every morning to count our every blessing. Now, all of us follow the leadership of our twice-elected grand basilisk, GB42, Ricky Lawrence Lewis, who is the tip of the spear that is Omega. Tell me, brothers, how are you aware that the Lord is holding your hand this morning? From where comes your confidence that the Lord has not left you and has not forsaken you? In what way are you assured that the Lord has given you and your family covering in your life's journey? Our brother, the first vice district representative of the first district, Anthony Lilly, has an abiding assurance that despite life's difficulties, the Lord is still with him. Oh, I love this, brother. So come before us, Brother Lilly, and share with us how you know that you know that you know that the Lord has been, is, and will be with you. The line is yours, my brother.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Grant. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Isaiah 41:13 declares, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. This verse serves as a powerful reminder that we are never alone, no matter how heavy the burdens we carry or how deep the valleys we walk through. Brothers, the same God who took Israel by the hand and led them through the wilderness is holding your hand this morning, guiding you through your personal trials. When I was asked to speak this morning, I reflected on my journey, one filled with joy, pain, and ultimately God's unwavering presence. I recalled the darkest moments of my life when I became an orphan adult. Losing both my parents within 4 months of each other was a test I never expected. My mother, my world, was taken by cancer, and my father by heart disease. I prayed for my mother not to suffer, and God answered. She was freed from pain, but my heart was heavy with grief and questions. Why her, Lord? Why now? In my anger and sorrow, I came to understand that God's ways, though higher than ours, are always rooted in love. My mother's life left a legacy of strength, love, and preparation. She ensured my siblings and I were stable, and even in her absence, her plans guided us. Then God did something miraculous. He gave me 4 months to reconcile with my father. Despite our strained relationship, those months taught me the beauty of forgiveness and the importance of quality time. I learned lessons I wish I embraced sooner. But God, in his timing, held my hand and allowed me to find peace. Brothers, in your moments of despair and doubt, remember that God's hand is always extended. He doesn't promise a life free of challenges, but he does promise his presence, his help, and his strength. They say there's no testimony without a test, and my test taught me that God is faithful. When I couldn't find the strength to rise each day, he lifted me. When I felt like falling, he steadied me. Isaiah 41:13 is not just a promise, it's a lifeline. God takes hold of our right hand, our hand of action, strength, and power, and assures us that we need not fear. He will help us. So, brothers, when life's journey takes you through unexpected detours and shadow valleys, trust the one who walks beside you. Let his hand guide your steps, give you courage, and remind you that you are never alone. Men of Omega, let us live with this truth in our hearts this morning and every day. Trust in God's hands, and you will find the peace, strength, and courage to face whatever comes your way. As I close, remember this. We are in good hands when we are in God's hands. I love you all, and there's nothing you can do about it. Thank you, Brother Grant Johnson, for allowing me to share this morning. May God bless and keep you.
No, thank you, my brother. Thank you for dipping deeply down within wellspring of your experience and sharing that wonderful, wonderful message to all of us. Let me do a commercial. Next Wednesday, January 22nd at 11 a.m., we will come back on this prayer line for a frat house dialogue to learn of the poems, the songs, and the toast of Omega. Bring the best that you've got, my brothers, and come be with us next week, next Wednesday, for the frat house dialogues, 11 a.m. Brothers, let's camp out for a little longer in the first district. And I encourage each of you to sit up straight, place your feet flat on the floor, for the erudite yet humble professor has entered the room. Oh, you're going to learn that his keen intellect is only outsized by his caring heart and inspirational voice. And you'll hear him now, our first district chaplain, Mark Arnold, as he stands before us, Boston Strong. We are blessed this morning to hear both his wit and wisdom as he presents the lesson and leads us in prayer. Speak to us, Brother Arnold, that which the Lord has placed on your heart. The line is yours.
Good morning, Brother Grant. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good morning. You are always too kind, and you continue to contribute to my imposter syndrome, but we thank you. For this opportunity that we have each other Thursday. And Brother First Vice District, Brother Lilly, there are not enough words to tell you how much I love you. We receive your testimony. It's an encouragement. And as Brother Grand Chaplain said, we thank you for digging deeply in the well. Gregory Smith, I need that track that you played this morning. I need that for worship for the rest of my day. That was amazing. And if brothers were not on the earlier call with Brother Box, man, oh man, did he pour into our lamps. So if you have a chance, wake up a little bit earlier in the morning. That's my PSA. And just good morning to Praying Omega Brothers everywhere on behalf of the First District and District Representative Raymond Bailey. We greet all of you in the matchless name of Jesus our Christ and our Lord on this thankful Thursday, day number 16 of our daily walk through these texts that comprise this grand old book we call the Bible. I'm going to jump right in this morning, and we are looking at a meditation on the chapters in Genesis 45, 46, and 47. For me, the themes of emotional release and providential relief leap off the pages of these chapters in chapters 45, 46, and 47. When we open chapter number 45, we see that deliberations over how the brothers of Joseph are trying to manage Pop Jacob's mental well-being in response to Joseph's demands, requiring that Benjamin stay until they return, have spilled over into chapter number 45 from chapter 44. These are the family matters of the Prince of Egypt, whose harrowing saga that began in Genesis chapter 37 now draws to a dramatic close under the providence of a holy and healing sovereign God in chapter number 47. Here are the opening words of chapter 45 and verse number 1, in which we feel the emotion with which Joseph is overrun when he says, the text says, he could not control himself and asked everyone to leave. He clears the room, cries out, and reveals his identity to his brothers to their astonishment, saying, I am Joseph. The passionate revelation that had been waiting within Joseph now wells up in the moment, reflecting his pent-up pain, having been estranged from them for some time, as Chaplain Clemens reminded us on yesterday. But now he has a chance to make things right. And if I could tag team with and tag in Brother John Cooper, 271 Beta Theta, to emphasize the opportunity presented in this text, he'd probably say, and I paraphrase, wait for it, watch this, Joseph will take a negative situation and make a positive one out of it. And that's, in fact, what Joseph proceeds to do. He is not flummoxed or flabbergasted by the magnitude of the moment. And after a release of emotions, Joseph sets out to execute the final stage of a strategy to resolve strained relationships with family and resource-challenged municipalities so that his family and others relying on him could live. He does so by first absolving them of their wrongdoing, asserting three times that everything that has transpired was on God's part. The text tells us in that same chapter, chapter number 45 and verse number 5, that God sent him before them to preserve their lives. Verse number 7, again, it is repeated that God, he says that God had sent him again to preserve for them a remnant on the earth. And again, in verse number 8, Joseph reiterates to them, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God is the one who did the sending. And there is some echoing of this notion of how God sends his people, sends his agents, sends his proxy to help and save those whom he loves. And we see it here in these texts. Reading at verse number 8 again, text says, so it was not you who sent me here, but God. And if someone could attest this morning, I would gather, if I could poll the room, that some on this call would say, I would not have been here had it not been for God, but God. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, but God, through dangers seen and unseen, but God. God did it. God took us and me through valleys of situations, but we're still here. God did it through the trials and tribulations that we see on every hand. We're still here. God did it. Took my beloved father and then my father-in-law, as Brother Lilly testified this morning, took both of his parents within a four-month span, but we're still here because God has something to do in us and through us to be a blessing to others. God did it, and we're still here. We see at the conclusion of Genesis chapter number 45, more emotions being spilled out on the pages of the text. The text tells us that Joseph fell upon Benjamin's neck and began to weep, and also his brother Benjamin wept on his neck. And then he goes and kisses all of his brothers and weeps on them, and then the brothers began to talk with him. The sons of Jacob carried the words of Joseph to their dad Jacob, and the text states that the spirit of their father Jacob was revived. I like this. I would like to interject here parenthetically that sometimes that's all it takes to revive a dead relationship, a broken friendship, are the words, "We are good and harbor no ill feelings," to bring those relationships back from the dead to life. Let me test the waters here just a little bit and say that there are some purple elephants in the rooms throughout Omega where brothers are dealing with Omega hurt, just like folks who suffer from church hurt and family hurt, who need some Josephs in their lives to say, let's move on for the greater good. If I recall just recently on social media platforms, Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas, there was a video circulating of those two who were at odds over estranged words and innuendo and aspersions, defamation and unresolved conflicts. Then those brothers got in a room, had a conversation, hashed it out, and fell on each other's necks and cried, just as Joseph did with his brothers. Brothers' words are important, and so much so that in this text in verse number 28 of chapter number 45, Israel, dad, pop, Jacob said, it's not enough. It is enough, rather. No mas, that's more than enough. As they're telling him these words that Joseph is alive, he's basically saying, trying to translate this Hebrew, small Hebrew phrase here, ravod, he's basically saying, it's like that, my son's alive, word. Joseph, my son is still alive, and that's all he needs to have encouragement and enough spirited revival within himself to say, I'm going to go see him now before I die. Before this, I was just going to die, but now I'm feeling alive because of these words. Brothers' words are important to revive dead relationships and dead dreams and bring those dreams back to life. Jacob's prolonged drama encounters God's providence by way of dreams. In the earlier verses of chapter number 46, text says that Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And there God speaks to him in visions of the night. God talks to him and encourages him and says to him, I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again. Here it is for me. One of the phrases, I think one of the most dramatic phrases in Holy Writ for me is where Isaac says, Jacob says in response to God's promise to him, Joseph's hands shall close your eyes. That's God's promise to him. Joseph's hands shall close your eyes. God saying to him, you will receive the full cycle of life. You will not die before your child sees you. And I think about this in a personal sense. When my father died, it would be almost 30 years in a couple of weeks that he has passed away, most of my adult life. In the middle of that service that we had for him, I was watching my grandmother, and I saw her bow over in pain and misery because her youngest, not her oldest, her youngest died before her. And that's something that really gets to our psyche, that we don't want to die. We want to die before our children die. And this passage to me is life to me, in that God promised Jacob that God would allow his son Joseph's hands to close his eyes. I got to move on, but I could stay there all day. He heads down to Egypt, and there Joseph makes his way to see him. And here is more emotion that we see coming out of this text. They come into the land of Goshen, and Joseph had prepared his chariot and went up to meet his father in Goshen. Here, Joseph, the prince of Egypt, presents himself to him again. Here we go. Here we have again this notion of him falling on necks. Here now he falls on the neck of his father, whom he hasn't seen for a long time because of this strained relationship. And the text says he weeps on his neck a good while. Brothers, there are layers to reconciliation. Yes, he had already wept with his brothers, but now he weeps with this father, Joseph assumes a posture of deference, respect, humility, honor, and reverence and esteem. His manhood, if you will, his first card is measured not in mayhem or madness, it's measured in meekness, and can basically be summed up by the words, I yield. There are more tears, and I submit to you, brothers, these are tears of reconciliation and realized hope. Dr. Wilma Ann Bailey says it this way, tears are the language of the soul when words fail. They bridge the divide between pain and the possibility of hope. And as such, she argues that tears serve as a means of healing and restoration. Hence, Joseph's prolonged weeping with his father, Jacob, symbolizes the healing of a long-standing grief and separation. And truth be told, mental health challenges often emerge as the collateral damage of unchecked pain and unresolved hurt manifesting the wounds we fail to acknowledge or heal in our broken and fractured relationships. Verse 30 of chapter 46 says it this way, Joseph now is healed. He says, now let me die. I'm good now. My son's alive. I've seen his face and know that you are still alive. Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, let's go up and make this thing right. Joseph's reaction in Genesis chapter 46 indeed is remarkable. He demonstrates clarity of purpose and calmness in the face of monumental events. Despite the gravity of the situation, his reunion with his father Jacob, the arrival of his entire family in Egypt, and the fulfillment of God's promises, Joseph is not overcome by the weight of the moment. Instead, he acts with discernment and intentionality. And we would do well to take his cue. Far from being immobilized, Joseph moves forward with purpose, embracing the sovereignty of God's divine plan. Joseph's poise and character development are evident throughout the narratives. Having endured slavery, imprisonment, and eventual elevation to power, Joseph has learned to trust in God's sovereignty and see the bigger picture. He understands the long game. And now in Genesis chapter 47, as we close, Joseph brings his father Jacob and his brothers to Egypt during the famine. Pharaoh grants them a land settlement in Goshen where they thrive and survive. And Dad Jacob, Pop Jacob, he lives out his life before burial in Canaan. Story in Joseph about Joseph, his narrative reminds us to trust God's sovereignty while taking responsible action. Joseph's dual concern for relationships and resources reveals a deeper theological truth that God's providence operates on multiple levels, personal, familial, and societal. I would sum it up this way. In these narratives, we see providence in adversity, God's ability to turn our trials into triumphs. We see God's ability to promote us in authority, so there's promotion in authority. God positions us for his purposes. And then finally, we see provision in abundance. God provides for our needs and beyond. In that, he showcases his care and faithfulness to his people, even in the most overwhelming of circumstances. Brothers, to be sure, God's sovereignty doesn't end with Joseph. It continues in our lives. He is weaving a story of redemption, purpose, and provision for each of us, even when we're not unable to sort through his sovereignty, nor are able to trace and track his plan, and his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can take solace in the prophet Jeremiah when he said, for I know the plans I have for you, in chapters 29, verse 11, declares the Lord, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, knowing in the end that God is working it out for our good. And that's what our God is doing. God still does exceedingly. God still does abundantly above all that we can ask from him according to the power that worketh through us. And Joseph, I believe, understood this at the very beginning when we read chapter 45 and verse number 1. We said Joseph was out of control with his emotions. I think he's out of control with his emotions because he realized that God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's going to fulfill every promise for you. Don't give up on God, brothers, because he won't give up on you. He is able. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we now come before you because we don't always get it right, but you always love us. You always look past our faults and see our needs. We are humbled by the story of Joseph, whose life teaches us the power of reconciliation, the importance of stewardship, and the beauty of your providence. Lord, like Joseph, we face strained relationships and seasons of scarcity, and we ask for your grace to navigate these challenges with wisdom, humility, and faith, helping us to seek reconciliation with those we have hurt or been hurt by, remembering that forgiveness is a gift and brings healing to both sides. May we see your hand at work in every relationship, and may we embrace the courage to take the first steps toward restoration and reconciliation. Father, now we acknowledge that resources, whether material or emotional, often feel limited. Just as you gave Joseph the wisdom to prepare and provide for those in need, grant us the foresight to manage what you have entrusted to us. Help us to act with compassion and integrity, serving not just ourselves, but also those who depend on us. Let us be instruments of your abundance, sharing what we have with open hands and open hearts. We also recognize your sovereignty, O Lord. We trust that you are with us as you were with Joseph in the pit, in Potiphar's house, in prison, and in the palace. Teach us to lean on you when times are hard, knowing that you are always working it out for our good and your glory, even when we cannot see it. Now, as we reflect on Joseph's journey, inspire us with his unwavering faith and steadfast hope. Help us to aspire to a life of reconciliation, stewardship, and trust in your plan. May we be peacemakers in all of our relationships, faithful stewards of our resources, and bold witnesses to your providence in all that we do. Father, now we pray prayers that have been laid on our hearts by brothers who are among us and on this call, and those who are without, who are off the call. At the request of Brother Reginald Long, we are praying for his son, Brother Bryant Long, as he takes the LSAT in pursuit of his goal for admission into law school. Lord, give him the recall of all that he studied, and may with patience place pen to paper or finger to keyboard and respond with answers that will gain him access to the goals upon which he is seeking. At the request of Brother Kenneth Falker, we are praying for Brother Keith Faulkner, a member of Pi Phi Chapter, Charlotte, North Carolina. He continues to experience health issues. We are praying for him. These brothers are close, in age, just 17 months apart. And we're praying, Lord, that you are hearing the prayer of Brother Kenneth Faulkner on behalf of his brother, that you will respond in kind, that your healing would be such that his body would be free of the issues that he is undergoing right now. We're also praying on behalf, or at the request of Louis Rivers, for his good friend Jerry L. Johnson, who was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. We are praying for him and his wife in this time of trial and tribulation. Please, God, heal his body in your infinite wisdom and will. We seek healing that only you can provide. Lord, relent some of the pain that he may be going through right now and comfort his wife in a way that she know your touch and your presence. At the request of Brother Irv Duhart, we're asking for prayers on behalf of the Duhart family as he travels to Detroit to assist in funeral arrangements for his sister. We pray already in advance, Lord, that before he gets there, that your shalom is being felt in the rooms of those houses, in the rooms of family and friends, and that you are going to be present in a way that your spirit will be a calm and a balm for them as they celebrate the homegoing of their sister. I pray this morning for one of our church parishioners, Ketley Sedant, who just lost her mom 2 months ago and now is down in Miami, Florida, watching her sister transition into glory, passing away also from stage 4 cancer. We pray for her as she tries to garner and gain strength in your word. Give her the faith to walk these last miles of the way with her sister as she transitions from this life on to the next. We pray also at the request of James Edwards, OG3DC, who's asking for prayers for the family of Reverend J.J. Ferguson of Franklin, Virginia, who too has recently been called home to glory. He lived a life that was commensurate with the word of God. And we pray, Lord God, that now in glory, you would reward him with the crown of life that you had promised for all those who call and believe on your name. We pray for all among us who have prayers and requests and supplications needing to be heard, maybe orally or in your ear quietly. We pray with chapters in districts where the gloves will be worn in memoriam for those who have passed on to glory during this weekend. Here in the first, we have a few services that we need your touch and presence. And around Omegandom, Lord, be in those sanctuaries, in those churches. Show yourself strong. And Lord, if it is your will, give heed to all of these requests. Incline your ear, if so moved, to all of our prayers and supplications. Comfort the comfortless. Bless those who mourn. Bless those who hunger and are in need of food security and life's essentials, even as we are thankful for our daily bread and new mercies. Bless those who have been severely impacted by the extremes of weather across our land and those who are living through the nightmares and aftermath of wildfires. We need and they need a peace be still. Bless first responders who have volunteered to protect and put themselves in harm's way. Bless leaders tasked with mobilizing staff for recovery. Bless even our leaders of our great fraternity. Continue to bless our leader, Grand Bosses 42, Ricky Lawrence Lewis, and the Supreme Council. We thank you for the wisdom that he has, and we also thank you for the wisdom that is still ours in the persons of great past Grand Boss Lay, who join us on this call every morning. Strengthen the bonds of this fraternity. It's in the name of the one who binds us together in perfect unity that we promise to forbear and forgive, as Brother Grand Chaplain encouraged us. And we pray with a unified voice, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.